Welcome to the Church for the Nations official podcast. You can find all of the CFTN teachings for free at www.podbean.com/CFTN. Join us for today's message titled The Lions of God, Part 2 by Dr. Michael Maiden.
In Amos, there's a book of the Bible called Amos, and it is a prophet that wrote a book. We call it a minor prophet only because of the size of its chapters, not the consequence of its meaning or the quality of its revelation. In Amos chapter 3, the Bible says, "Surely, verse 7, the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, plural, the prophets." Just a couple of things. Whenever anyone gets a revelation that they say, "I solely have heard from God." No, God speaks by this massive outpouring, not just to prophets, as Amos said, but to prophetically open people. So anything God's going to do, he's going to tell it to more than one person, okay, just to help you. So Jesus isn't coming back September 23rd for you that are already sending me Facebook message about that. So there is safety in the confirming witness of a multitude of leaders, okay? There's safety. So I love to be around prophetic people, and we start talking in leadership arenas about what God's saying, and I love to bounce things back and make sure I'm on the main course of what God has. And so God does it. Before God does it, he tells people he's going to do it. And verse 8 says, "A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy?" And so that's exciting stuff for prophetic people. So it is giving a metaphor of prophecy to the roar of a lion. So God speaks. What does that mean? God speaks to the hearts of his people, and the outcropping of such revelatory moments is prophetic utterance. We say what we hear. Okay, when we say what we hear, we'll see what we say. When we say it, God can do it. In fact, God won't do it until someone says it. And so God speaks, and the lion roars, and so let's just have... stop, park there for just a moment. So the lion's the king of the jungle. His roar can be heard for 5 miles. And in the jungle, there's lots of animals making noises. Like Paul said, there are many voices. But when someone speaks God's word, when someone has a revelation from God, there's authority in their voice that's not present in all the other monkeys and squirrels and whatever else is in the jungle. Everybody's rattling out there. Everybody's saying stuff. The media's pouring out stuff. Hollywood's producing stuff. Everyone's on media. Everybody wants to be famous on Facebook. Everybody's doing something. But rising above the chattering multitudes of chaotic voices is the roar of the prophetic voice of God. And when you say something that heaven has said to you, you're roaring like a lion, even if you whisper it like a mouse. When you say it, after you've heard it, there's a roar, an authority in it that changes the behavior of the jungle. There you are. All the little animals chirping and birds, blah, 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 blah. The lion roars. What happens next? Quiet. What are they all doing? They're freaking out. Ruh-roh. Leo the lion's awake. He's hungry for dinner. Silencing the contrary mob. Silencing the confusion. You just got to know this. Don't worry about who's saying. There might be 10,000 people in this city tonight saying all kinds of chaotic things, speaking curses, commanding spells, but just one little Christian facing that great multitude of voices and that confused, chaotic mess of witchcraft. One little person who opens their mouth and says God's word is like a lion, and it cancels and it destroys and it dismantles and it removes the influence and cancels the effectiveness of that witchcraft and that kind of nonsense. Amos 1:2 says, the Lord roars from Zion. Zion is a portrait of the church in the Old Testament. So God roars from his church. So please listen to me. Church for the Nations, the time is going to come, just like tonight, we started touching prophetically. Sister Ruth, Pastor Bonnie, some things we said on the stage prophetically. God wants to talk to the whole world from any place where people are listening to him. So God will say things in Phoenix about, Beijing, China, about Singapore, about where I'm going to Malaysia, about Africa, about South America, about Europe. God will say things, and when their prayers and prophetic utterances and powerful declarations, those powerful words bring change to the earth. So God's ready to do something. What is he ready to do? He's ready to prophesy through you. Time to prophesy. It's time to prophesy. Joel says it like this, Joel 3:16. The Lord will also roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. Oh, we're getting deeper into something in this hour. We're getting deeper into the heart of God. And there we're becoming more familiar with his beat, the beat of compassion, the beat of his concern, the beat of his ever-ready grace to reach unreached people. God wants to talk to us about all kinds of things in the earth. God wants to say things, and God wants to declare things, and God's looking for partners, and he's looking for vessels that he can pour into and speak through. He's ready to roar through the church. This is not the hour to cower in fear. This is not the hour to listen to the fearmongers or listen to the deceiving voices that are trying to tell us the wrong thing. In the Spirit, the Holy Spirit saying different things than the culture is saying, than the news media is saying, than the current events are saying. And when we listen to God, God will build inside of us a confidence to roar in the midst of a jungle of wildness and violence and uncertainty and chaos. God's ready for his lions to roar. It doesn't matter how many crazy, dysfunctional, demonic voices are being raised in your family. You're God's lion. You're God's lioness. You walk in the midst of all that. You don't have to shout at them. You just have to say some things. God, I thank you that every member of my family will be saved. I thank you that every mind in my family will be healed and delivered from oppression and mental illness, from confusion and disorders. Thank you, God, that the power of violence and premature death is broken. You'll just roar, say some things, and all those other voices have to submit to the roar of Zion, the roar of the lion, the roar of God in the church. The Lord's ready to roar. He's ready to roar through you. In the book of Acts, I have to go here a little bit quicker. Acts chapter 2, the Bible says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, Pentecost just means 50, it's the a feast of 50 days after atonement. And so when a Passover. So when the day of Pentecost had come, now this is an important thing. How many people are in the upper room? 120. Thank you. We have a Bible scholar here, Pastor. So most likely that prayer meeting began with 500 people. So you look at the last chapter of Luke, there's 500 of them. They all go to Jerusalem. but the prayer meetings lasting longer than they were ready for. Jesus said, something great's going to happen. Go tarry and wait in Jerusalem until it happens. And so, have you ever been in a 10-day prayer meeting? So, can you imagine Peter? And so, they're beginning to walk away. So, three-fourths or two-thirds of the crowd is going home because nothing's happening. And Peter says, you know what? Jesus said something would happen. Now, please listen to me. Jesus said something's going to happen in the last days. It's not the time to stop praying and stop declaring God's voice over our city, our world, our nation, our families, our churches, this generation. It's not the time to unplug our prayer energies and behaviors because something is ready to happen. America is in an intense labor. She's in the birth pangs of the greatest spiritual awakening she's ever known. The shakings that we've seen are not signals of God's anger or judgment. Shaking in the Bible is a prophetic necessity in order to bring about change. God allows shaking to come because he wants some things to go and some things to stay and some things to come. And so we're in a time of shaking, not to destroy us, but to prepare us for a great awakening. And God wants us to be on the same page as he is in this moment of history. Okay, anyways, they were all together, one accord in one place. They're in unity. At least they're, you know, physically in unity and they're attitudinal in unity. And this is a big point here. There are, I think, 35,000 Protestant denominations because every time we have a doctrinal disagreement, we start a new movement. And unity is not based on doctrinal perfect agreement and alignment. It's based on love for each other and believing we're all the family of God. So they're in unity in that regard. And suddenly, verse 2 says, there was a sound from heaven. As if a rushing mighty wind. And the sound filled the whole house where they were sitting. Now here's the point. So they're sitting there, a wind didn't come, but a sound like a wind, a hurricane from heaven. The word sound is the Greek word echoes. And echoes means a loud roar. It roared from heaven. And so the breath of God, the Spirit of God was released as Christ promised. And it came and it filled them and it came upon them. And verse 3 says, and everybody caught on fire. Now, please listen to me. We got to get the Pentecostal fire of the Holy Spirit back into the church. Some of you don't know what that is. It just means the Holy Spirit's got a hold of you. And you're on fire. You're on fire. You're ready to be used of God. You can't wait for tomorrow. You can't wait to see what God has. You're in the aggressive position of being ready, available, and accessible from heaven to accomplish the will of God. And so the fire of God came upon them through the Holy Spirit. And it looked like tongues of fire, like flames abiding on their heads. And so it goes on. There's more good stuff. And they were all filled, verse 4, with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. So they spoke in unlearned languages. And as it happened, because it was a time of festival, Jews from around the world were in Jerusalem. And as they erupted out of the upper room, they began to speak in these unlearned languages. And they were speaking the wonderful praises of God. And the people heard them and they recognized both by their dialect and maybe by familiarity with some of them. These guys don't know our dialect, our language. How could they speak these things? So the Holy Spirit gave them access. There's 1,000 things right there. God's going to put you in arenas where you shouldn't be. But he's going to anoint you to speak the language of that culture, that moment, that business, that situation. And you're going to be able to communicate because the Holy Spirit's inside of you. Anyway, they spoke in tongues and they manifested praises to God. And so great things happened. And so Peter now is going to explain. He said, these guys aren't drunk. Now, just a couple of things. No one here, anybody speak any other language besides English here tonight? God bless you. Anybody speak more than two languages? Well, who? How many languages? Seven languages. My first thought was, that sucks. I'm still working on my one. How could you do that? Nobody, if you're walking in the mall and you hear someone talking in Romanian or in German or Italian, you don't think they're drunk. You think, oh, there's some foreigners. There's someone who's foreign. So they think they're drunk because their behavior is intoxicated. The primary reason people think they're drunk is a bunch of religious people suddenly got happy. Come on, I'm just telling you the truth. They've been in a 10-day prayer meeting. They're ready to kill each other. You're staring at the same person for 10 days, praying the same prayer, waiting for something to happen. By 10 days, you're the, oh, man, I'm sick of you, and you're sick of me. The Holy Spirit comes, and they're laughing, they're dancing, they're filled with joy. And so wherever, man, I've had a couple of encounters with pretty miserable people the last week who one that challenged me because I said, you know, natural disasters aren't from God and stuff like that. And I just feel bad for them. Their belief system makes them miserable. But Jesus and his Spirit makes you happy. Okay? Makes you joy-filled. So he said, these guys aren't drunk. And he said, the verse 17, but this is that spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, says God. I will pour out my Spirit upon everybody, the all flesh, every nation, every generation, every region, every possible tongue. And your sons and daughters, here's what he said, your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. Everybody say prophesy. Oh, see? So Holy Spirit shows up. There's a roar. A roar. God, listen, God roared to them and then said, I want to roar through you. The wind came down, but God says, now it's going to come out. And the roar of prophecy, he said, the first thing that's going to happen when people are in touch with heaven through the baptism, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, is they're going to say stuff from heaven. They're going to prophesy stuff. And when they prophesy, okay, they're going to prophesy. Your young men see visions, your old men dream dreams. On my manservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. They will prophesy. Next verse says, I'll show wonders in heaven. I don't want to go into that too much, except I've seen that a bunch of times. So I was in Adelaide, Australia last year. Hadn't rained for 400 days. Everybody say 400 days. I didn't know that. I just thought the night before I was sleep deprived and goofy. And the Lord said, prophesy it's going to rain. And so I said, well, before I preach, the Lord told me to prophesy it's going to rain. Not one clap, not one amen. No, not from you, from them. They're all like, okay, American preacher, thank you. And they're probably thinking, I guess he hasn't heard the news. It hasn't rained for a year plus, over a year. So I'm preaching away. I don't even know what I was preaching about. All of a sudden, a loud bang was like a thunder, and I thought there was something behind me, a big, huge stage in an auditorium. And it sounded like an air conditioning unit just was being ripped apart or something. And so I stopped preaching. I said, Pastor, everything okay? He started laughing. The whole church started laughing. And they shouted back to me, it's raining. It rained. Listen to me. It rained for 4.5 months every day from that moment when I said it would rain. You'll prophesy things in the heavens. God's going to help us. Listen, God's going to help us part of the education of some of the events that are happening is they're showing us where we need to be stronger, where the church must grow, where our faith must be in alignment with God about what he wants to do concerning human events and natural disasters. Okay, last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Pursue love. Everybody say, pursue love. If everything God has for us to do has to be done in love, because truth without love becomes an error. Pursue love, desire spiritual gifts, and especially as you may prophesy. Verse 3, he that prophesies speaks to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Say this out loud with me. It's God's will that the gift of prophecy flows in my life. God wants to encourage people. God wants to heal people. And God wants to build people up through prophecy. So Holy Spirit, come on, lift your hands and say, Holy Spirit, I'm ready to be used to heal people, to encourage people, to build people up with the gift of prophecy. I boldly ask tonight for the gift of prophecy. And by faith, I receive it now in Jesus' name. Now just keep your hands raised. Keep your hands raised. If you're a tongue talker, talk in tongues. If you're an English talker, talk in English, or whatever your native language is. And just talk to, come on, get your spiritual engine going. There's a roar trying to rise up in you. There's breath trying to ascend in you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now, everybody, please, would you stand up?
Thank you for listening to today's message by Dr. Michael Maiden. Find all of these teachings for free at www.podbean.com/CFTN. We thank you for listening today, and if you would like to get connected with our church, you can visit cftn.com to find out about our service times, worship, outreach, and all of the latest CFTN news. We would love to hear from you, and may God continue to bless you.